The Catra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This deep dive into essential knowledge has been prepared with the help of the Catra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Think about the last really big decision you had to make. Maybe you were told, you know, weigh the pros and cons, take your time, really think it through.
Standard advice.
Right. But what if that very first thought you had, that like instant reaction you made in a split second, what if that was the right call?
That's exactly what we're digging into today. We're exploring that hidden part of your thinking, the rapid cognition system, often just called gut feeling. We are unpacking Malcolm Gladwell's fascinating book, Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking.
Yeah, our mission here is to get under the hood of these super fast judgments. How do they work? Why are they sometimes brilliant and sometimes, well, disastrous? Because let's face it, we're drowning in information these days.
Totally. Full inboxes, endless data points. This book really pushes back on the idea that good decisions always need slow, careful, exhaustive analysis. Sometimes, maybe, speed is key.
So if you feel that pressure, that data overload, learning how this fast system works and when to trust it is crucial. It's about managing both your thinking systems, the fast and the slow.
Precisely. When is your instinct a shortcut to genius, and when is it leading you down the dangerous path? That's the core tension we want to explore.
Okay, before we dive deep, let's quickly talk about the author Malcolm Gladwell. Canadian journalist, longtime writer for The New Yorker. You probably know his style.
Yeah, he's not exactly a lab scientist himself. He's more of an intellectual curator, a master synthesizer. He did The Tipping Point before this. We really put him on the map for popularizing social science ideas.
Right. He takes these complex studies, psychology, sociology, even military strategy or art history, and weaves them together into these compelling stories.
And that's his real gift, I think. Mm-hmm. Connecting dots you wouldn't normally connect. Showing how, say, an art expert judging a statue and a psychologist predicting divorce might actually be using similar mental machinery.
Okay, so let's get to the heart of Blink. The big idea is that those instant subconscious judgments, they can be incredibly powerful and often surprisingly accurate.
And the mechanism behind this is something he calls thin slicing.
Thin slicing. Explain that a bit.
It's the ability of our unconscious mind, he terms it the adaptive unconscious, to zero in on vital patterns from like incredibly brief moments of experience, tiny slices of information.
That's not just a guess.
No, not at all. Think of it like a hidden supercomputer. It's processing tons of data beneath the surface, subconsciously, and then delivering a quick verdict. It's analysis, just really, really fast analysis.
And this adaptive unconscious, it's powerful, but doesn't really talk to us directly, does it? That's why intuition feels so mysterious sometimes. You get the answer, but not the working out.
Exactly. Gladwell uses the metaphor of a locked door. You see the final decision, the feeling, but the complex reasoning behind it. That happens in a room you can't access consciously.
Which is why experts can make these amazing snap calls, but sometimes struggle to explain how.
Right. And that leads to the book's central tension. This power is amazing. Think the Getty Koro statue example.
Oh, yeah. That one's great. The museum spends a fortune, 14 months of scientific tests, all saying this ancient Greek statue is legit. They buy it.
And then a few top art historians walk in, take one look, and just feel wrong. This immediate intuitive repulsion, as Gladwell calls it.
And they were right. Their blink judgment based on years of expertise beat all the scientific data.
It shows the deep expertise trains your adaptive unconscious to spot subtle patterns, patterns you might not even be able to consciously articulate. It wasn't a guess. It was highly refined pattern recognition.
Okay, but isn't that risky? Just going on a feeling.
Well, look at John Gottman's Love Lab work. This psychologist can watch a married couple talk for just a few minutes, literally thin slicing their interaction.
Mm-hmm. Looking for what?
Tiny things, micro expressions, especially contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling. Based on those few minutes, he predicts with something like 90% accuracy if they'll still be married in 15 years.
Wow. That's thin slicing human connection.
Exactly. It's subconscious analysis of key behavioral patterns.
And this connects back to that locked door idea, right? Because trying too hard to explain your intuition can actually mess it up, like the jam tasting study.
Perfect example. Students tasted jams. When they just went with their gut taste, their rankings matched the experts pretty well.
But
when they had to explain their preferences, write down why they liked one jam over another, their accuracy totally tanked. Thinking too hard about it interfered with their natural quick judgment.
Okay, so the blink can be brilliant, but Obviously, it's not foolproof. It goes wrong. Sometimes horribly wrong. Why?
Because that adaptive unconscious, it learns from the world around us. And unfortunately, that includes absorbing cultural biases, stereotypes, prejudices. Which brings us to the Warren Harding era.
Ah, yes. The president elected largely because he looked presidential.
Pretty much. Tall, handsome, dignified look. People thin-sliced his appearance and thought, yep, leader material. But turns out he was actually a pretty incompetent president.
So the snap judgment was based on completely irrelevant, superficial stuff. It plugged right into a stereotype of leadership.
And Gladwell argues this happens all the time. He points to things like the implicit association test, the IAT, which suggests many of us have these unconscious biases, race, gender, height, whatever, that can taint our snap judgments, even if we consciously believe we're fair.
Okay, so bias is one danger. What about pressure? High-stakes situations, does intuition hold up then?
That's where the Millennium Challenge war game comes in. Fascinating story. You have the super high-tech U.S. military team, the blue team, with all this data, all this tech.
Ready to dominate, you'd think.
But they got swamped. So much information. So many options. They froze. Classic analysis paralysis.
Okay, so what happened?
The opposing red team, led by retired Marine General Paul Van Riper, basically threw out the complex playbook. He relied on his decades of experience, used rapid, intuitive, unpredictable tactics, and completely crushed the blue team on day one.
Mm-hmm.
Sank most of their fleet. They had to reset the whole simulation.
Wow. So the lesson there is, in chaotic situations, sometimes that honed intuition beats slow, data-heavy thinking.
It can, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then you have the flip side. The truly tragic side, the Amadou Diallo shooting.
Right. The book uses this as a really sobering example of blink failure, an armed man shot by police.
And Gladwell uses it to illustrate how extreme stress and fear can utterly warp that rapid cognition system. Under intense threat, people can enter a state of like temporary tunnel vision or even what some experts call temporary autism.
Meaning their ability to read the situation accurately just collapses.
Exactly. The adaptive unconscious gets hijacked by panic. Subtle cues are missed or misinterpreted. In the Diallo case, the officers, under immense pressure in poor lighting, tragically misread the situation. Their pattern recognition system, corrupted by fear and stress, saw a threat where there wasn't one. A wallet mistaken for a gun.
It shows how the inputs, fear, bias, stress, can completely poison the output of that fast-thinking system.
Which leads to the crucial question. If bias and stress are the enemies of good intuition, how do you protect it? How do you harness the good blink without falling prey to the bad?
What's the fix?
Control the inputs. Manage a context. The best example is Abby Conant, the trombonist.
Ah, oh, the blind audition.
Exactly. She was clearly brilliant, but kept getting overlooked. Then she auditions for the Munich Philharmonic behind a screen. The judges can't see her.
They can only judge the music.
And she wins. Easily. The screen removed the irrelevant biasing information, her gender. It allowed the judge's thin slicing of musical talent to operate purely.
So changing the context, removing the bias, allowed for a true judgment. That's powerful.
It really is. It proves that we can structure situations to get the best out of our intuition. Context is king.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. What are the main takeaways here? First, maybe, just the legitimacy of unconscious thinking. It's real, it's analytical, it's not just woo-woo guessing.
Right. So if you're an expert in something, that gut reaction you have, it's probably built on years of data your unconscious has crunched. Don't automatically dismiss it just because you can't immediately write a report explaining it.
Okay. Second big theme. Less paralysis is often more. That paradox of information. Too much data can actually hurt. Analysis paralysis is real.
Yeah, think about buying a house. You can drown in spreadsheets comparing square footage in school districts.
Yeah.
But sometimes that feeling you get in the first 5 minutes of walking in, that immediate yes or no, that might be tapping into something more fundamental than the numbers alone.
Right. And third, and this feels crucial, intuition is a double-edged blade. It's powerful, but dangerous if you're not careful.
Definitely. It's only truly reliable when you have genuine expertise in that specific area and when you've actively tried to minimize the influence of bias. We always need to ask ourselves, is this feeling coming from deep experience or is it just a stereotype kicking in?
That self-awareness seems key. Knowing when to trust the blink.
That metacognition, yeah. That's the ultimate skill blink encourages.
Gladwell's writing is full of these memorable phrases, isn't it? Sticky ideas.
Absolutely. Like the simple statement that there can be as much value in the blink of an eye as in months of rational analysis. That really challenges our default setting, doesn't it?
It does. And also the idea that our unconscious is like this powerful computer, but it operates behind a locked door, explains that mystery perfectly.
And ultimately, the practical advice. We need to know when to trust our first impressions and when to be skeptical. It's about developing that judgment about our judgment.
So how do we actually use these ideas? Let's talk real-life applications. In professional life, hiring seems like a big one, avoiding that Warren Harding trap.
Totally. Implement blind reviews where possible, especially early on. Strip names, maybe even university sometimes, from resumes for the initial screen. Focus evaluations on concrete skills and past performance, not just how someone interviews or if they have that vague executive presence. Structure it to focus the thin slicing on what matters.
Makes sense. And personally, maybe relationships. Thinking about Gottman's work.
Yeah. Pay attention to those quick patterns, those micro signals in how you and your partner communicate. That flash of contempt, the constant defensiveness, shutting down.
Yeah.
Your unconscious picks up on that stuff fast. Don't ignore those little alarms just because things seem okay on the surface.
Good point. And just generally, maybe we need to sort of interview our own instincts more often.
I like that. Interview your instincts. Mm-hmm. Before you leap based on a gut feeling, quick gut check. Am I actually an expert here? Do I have years of relevant experience? Or am I just reacting based on limited info or potential bias? If you're not an expert in that specific domain, that's your cue to deliberately slow down, gather more data, engage the rational brain.
For me, what really landed was that concept of analysis paralysis. Maybe because we see it so much. The Van Riper story validates the idea that sometimes expertise means having the confidence to act on your trained intuition, not getting bogged down endlessly.
I agree. And I think the final synthesis is that Blank isn't arguing against careful rational thought. Not at all. It's arguing for a more sophisticated relationship with our intuition. It's about training it through experience, learning to listen to it appropriately, but also being fiercely vigilant about protecting it from bad inputs like stress and prejudice.
It's about understanding both systems, fast and slow, and knowing when to use which.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It fundamentally makes you think differently about thinking itself.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.